I want to read past the scripture that Brother Jim White read the other night, and I'll share some things with you. A few weeks ago, I did a few messages on worship, and I told Brother Brad I wasn't quite through, but I just had some other things that the Lord put on my heart. I want to come back to that thought this morning. I'm interested this morning in real worship, real worship. Look at, please, in this passage of scripture, beginning and as our Lord is talking with this dear lady there by the well. For the sake of time, I want to pick up reading at verse number 23. You remember the story? He's met this woman, and she says, "Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say we're supposed to work in Jerusalem." So on. But in chapter 4, verse 23, the Lord Jesus Christ has spoke to her, and he said this, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship him, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." God has many names. He's identified many times in the Bible in many different ways. One of his names is El Shaddai. It means the all-sufficient God. It means he has nothing like it. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need any of our approval. He really doesn't even need our worship. But he in this passage of Scripture, he said, "I'm seeking such to worship me." The Lord Jesus Christ, I said a while ago, he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know why? For his benefit? No, for us. "Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Sometime you ought to go through the Word of God and look at that little phrase, "for us." Do you know that everything God has done, he did for us? He loved us and he died for us. He came to seek us and he's blessed us. He's God. He doesn't need anything, but he knows we are needy people. David said he considers our frame that we're but dust. And I'm glad that the God who created this world, the God of all this universe, loves you and loves me and loves all those in the sound of my voice today. And what he wants to do is bless us. And in this passage of scripture, he says to this woman at the well, "And the hour cometh, and now he is, that the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship him." As you think about that passage, I want to say to you, there's nothing in this that would indicate that the ego of God needs bolstering in any way. He doesn't need us to worship him to prove that he's God. He is God. He is El Shaddai. But he's seeking such to worship him. That is, there's a certain type of worship that he accepts if those who come before him have to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to give you four or five little quick things this morning, and we're going to go home. So remember, I got 5 points. There may be 25 sub-points on all those 5 points, but I'll try to get through just as quick as I can. Will you bow this morning and pray? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit now, God, to speak to my heart. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir. I thank you that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And our Father, we worship him this morning. Thank you, our Father, for the wonderful singing of the congregation. And our Father, Brad, for just touching him. He is worthy. God, you're worthy. Our Father, you're worthy. Our Father, I pray you'd clear our minds and heart, not let anything enter in or anything, our Father, defile. God, forgive us for trying to do two things at one time. I pray, our Father, that you'd help us that when we come to this place, that our Father, our focus is on him who loved us and died for us. And I pray, blessed Lord Jesus, now that you'd help us, our Father, to understand the real meaning of true worship. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to my heart, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I share with you this morning just a few things, 5 different things in regard to true worship, real worship. First of all, there's that matter of preparation. Preparation. How many of you like football? Raise your hand. You like football? Don't be ashamed of it. Praise God, I like it. Amen. We have a good team or a bad team. I like football. I'm just that way. I like that type of thing. I was thinking about people who tailgate. Now, I've never been in a lot of that because I've never got to go to many major games and everything, but people start tailgating. Some of them start on Friday for a game on Saturday, and they make preparation. They get there, and they got on their clothes and everything. I remember when I went to see the Seminoles down in Florida 2 or 3 times when I was down there. I told you about that. I saw these people, man, they all had garnet and gold everywhere. When you get within 10 miles of Tallahassee, Florida, I mean, everywhere you look is garnet and gold. They paint everything around there, garnet and gold. Everybody, you see people, no doubt about who they're for. And they're heading to the game. They've made preparation. They've got everything ready. They come, they make preparation. And you know what? You and I, first of all, we must prepare to go to the house of God. And when you get ready to come to church on Sunday morning, if you're going to really worship Him when you get into this place, if you're going to benefit when you get in this place, if you're going to be blessed and be a blessing when you get in this place, it takes some preparation on our part to get ready. You and I must prepare to go to the house of God. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? And when you get ready to leave, come on Sunday morning. Everything happens on Sunday morning. If you've got a cow get out on Sunday morning. If you've got a goat, your goat gets out. I'm telling you, something's going to happen on Sunday morning. Something's going to go haywire. You can't find but one sock. I don't know where the other one went to, but you can't find but the one sock. Everything happens. The kids, something's going to be wrong. Something's going to haywire. You know why? Because the devil wants to rob you of your experience about worship. I'm wondering how many of us really prepared. A few weeks ago, Brad was he was introduced in the service, getting the service started and everything, and he said some things about worship that spoke to my heart. He said, I was excited about coming to the house of God this morning. I'm looking forward to God blessing. You and I must prepare to come to the house of God. Now, in the Old Testament, when they came to worship, God gave them the instruction for the tabernacle. And He told Moses and Aaron, you get everything ready, get the tabernacle set up. They were to anoint everything in the tabernacle. They were to get everything anointed. But before they came to worship, they were to bathe. They had to wash and be clean. And then when they came to the brazen altar and they offered that, there was a laver, that big round laver full of water. It's made out of brass. And when you look at it, my dear friend, it was overlaid with gold. And that brazen altar and then the laver overlaid with gold. And when you look at that, you could see reflection in it. And they were to bathe themselves in that. My dear friend, to worship, you get ready at home to come to the house of God. You ought to get clean before you get here. I'm not talking about just taking a bath. I'm not talking about taking a shower. I'm not talking about putting on deodorant. I'm talking about the inner man. You ought to ask God on Sunday morning. Get up and say, oh, God, don't let anything in my heart hinder me from worshiping God. Now, you know what? In this building, there's a connection. Have you ever been in a service when you just feel the power of God move around? Just like electricity? But, you know, there could be a break in it. There could be something in the wiring that shorts out. It could be somebody in this building this morning that shorts out the power of God. I wouldn't want to be that one, would you? I'd hate to be sitting on a row right here and somebody on the other end down there lost and dying and going to hell. And because I had something in my heart that ought not to be there, that I'd short out the power of God, that I'd grieve the Holy Ghost on my pew. I wouldn't want anything in my life. And when you get ready to come to the house, I'm talking about getting serious about worship. I mean, when you get up, you get ready to come to the house of God, you have your mind get right with God. Oh, God, purge my heart. Every Sunday morning, I kneel in there at our little kitchen table, and I say, oh, God, purge my heart. Don't let anything be in my heart and mind. I don't want anything there. Listen, you purge your heart and mind. I'd suggest this to you, and you may not agree with this. If I were you, I wouldn't watch the news on Sunday morning. You don't need to watch the news on Sunday morning. I'm not sure you need to watch it Monday morning. But you'll see something on there that'll disturb you. There may be something that'll bless you, but most of the time there's going to be something that's going to irritate you, something that's going to get you crossed up. You don't need that on Sunday morning. Can you change anything between then and 11 o'clock? No. Can you do anything to change this nation? Can you do anything to change a politician? Can you do anything to help anybody between that time and 11 o'clock? No. But what can happen is you can get that on your mind. And when you come in, you walk in the door, you're talking about, you never tell you what I saw on television this morning before I got here. And you'll just spew all that out on top of somebody else and get them thinking about it during the whole service. If you're going to worship, you've got to prepare. You ought to have your heart clean. You don't need to have your head full of junk. If I were you, and I like football and everything else, but I'm going to tell you something. On Sunday morning, you don't need to watch all that stuff. You don't need to have that focus on Sunday morning. If you've got some good gospel music, play it on a CD. If you want to find it somewhere else, play that. Put it, your thought, I'm telling you, you need to get ready. Now, how many of you, no, I was going to ask you how many watched the news this morning. But look, get you ready. Preparation. If you're going to come to the house of God, you've got to prepare. And the way you get prepared, first of all, you need to be clean. You need to be clean. Get everything out between you and the Savior. You don't have anything in there. And listen, you ought to pray. Part of the cleansing process is prayer. He said, if you confess your sins, faith, but you need to pray, number one, for yourself. God, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to worship you today. And God, I pray, oh God, that you won't let anything hinder the work. And God, I pray that you'd move in my heart. I pray, oh God, that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. God, I want to worship you. I want to adore you and magnify you. I'm talking about you need to pray. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of prayer, and I have to pray for myself. And I ask God to help me, that I'll have focus on him, that I'll look to him. And then you ought to pray for your preacher. Pray that God, the Holy Ghost, to help the man of God. Pray that God will fill me with the power of God. And pray God will speak to my heart. And God will use me for his glory. And God will speak to me. Listen, he's just a man. You pray, oh God, Brother Billy is just a man. But God, he's your man. And I pray, God, you'd keep him. I pray, God, you'd fill him with the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Speak through him this morning to me. Oh God, you put him here. Pray, God, that fill him. God, use him. Speak to me. I think you ought to pray for Brad. I'm going to tell you right now, it'd be a dead service if we come in here and Brad was backslidden cold. It bothers me if he'd get like that, because I'm used to Brad coming in here being on fire for the Lord. I count on him being here like that. And I pray for him, because you know why? God uses him so that the devil's going to attack him and attack his family. God's going to attack Tim and his family. And you need to pray for all of the leaders. Pray for Brad. Pray God the Holy Ghost to fill him with the power of God. Pray God to touch him and use him for his glory. You need to pray one for another before you come here. Pray that God will speak to people in the building. Pray for them. And then I want you to pray. You pray before you come to worship. You pray for lost people. You pray. And then pray that God is going to get glory. God meet with us. Oh, listen. Moses went back to Pharaoh and God said, God hath met with us. God met with us. What a testimony. If you could ever go to the house of God and go home, and you go home and say this beyond any shadow of doubt, God hath met with us. You've had church. My dear friend, let's pray that God, before you ever get here, you pray that you'll be clean. Pray for those involved and pray for yourself and pray that God would move. Pray, my dear friend, and be ready when you come to the house of God. When you come into the house of God, turn with me to Psalms 100. Let me kind of show you what I'm talking about. In Psalm 100, be ready when you get to the house of God. David said this in Psalm 100, this wonderful psalm. Listen to what he says in it. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful in him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Most of us, like Brad talked about a while ago, we drag in here. And if we can never get here, we say, God, I pray you help me, pump me up, let me leave here praising God. But the problem is we ought to come like that, praise God. You ought to start praising before you ever get here. Yeah. You ought to done had church before you get here. Get prepared. Get your heart clean. Begin to think about him. He said, know ye that he is God, that he's the Lord. At the house, before you ever leave the house, get to thinking about he's God. He's real. God, thank you for my house, and thank you for my family, and thank you for my car, and thank you I ain't got Ebola this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for all you've done for me. He is God. Know him. Know him. Before you ever get here, you ought to know him. Before you ever get here, you ought to worship him. And when you enter into the gates, when you come into the house of God, you come in with singing and praising God and glorifying God. Now, some of you can't carry a tune or gourd. Say amen. I know that. And I'm not any better than that. I can't do that. And so I'm not going to get up here and sing much. But praise God, I can sing in my car. You may not believe this, but at my house, in my shower, at my house, on the way over here in my car, I sound just like Squire Parsons. It sounds just like it. I can hear Squire. Ivan Parker. Man, I can do the Midnight Cry. Sounds just like him. That's my own estimation, I guess. But I sound just like Ivan Parker when nobody's around. I promise. I ought to record it sometime. But you ought to come in here rejoicing. You sit there and you watch early morning news. You fuss at the youngins, fuss at the wife. Wife all ill because the husband won't help. Everything. And drag in here. We ought to have been done prayed. We ought to have been done worshiped him. Know ye that he's the Lord. Know him. and acknowledge Him and thank God for it. Thank God for that. If you're going to worship, it takes preparation. Not after you get here, before you get here. Not only does it take preparation, it takes anticipation. Anticipation. The other week, Brad said this, I came expecting God to do something. I'm not expecting to get out. I'm not thinking about what's going to happen after this service. I'm not thinking about, man, I hope we get out by 12. I'm coming here expecting God to do something. Man, I'm coming in here. David said, I was glad, Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Oh, he's excited about it. He's glad to go to the house of the Lord. Come anticipating God's blessing. Come anticipating God going to bless the choir and the singing and the preaching. Come anticipating experiencing God's presence. I'm going to tell you some of the best times I've ever had in my life have been around the house of God with God's people. The mountaintop experience of my life, most of them have been around the house of God with God's people. I've been when God, the Holy Ghost, would blow through a place. I mean, like old Mays Jack said, it got so foggy, you need a CNI dog to see how to get around. God met with us. I've come anticipating God moving. Come anticipating God and doing a very special thing. I believe God to do that. Oh, God, I want to thank you that you're going to bless me with a choir this morning. Thank you, God, Brad's going to be sky high when he comes in. I mean, when he hollers good morning, I'm going to holler back at him, praise God. I'm glad. I'm anticipating the presence of God. I believe, God, this morning you're going to feel my preacher. I'm expecting God to speak to my heart. Oh, God, give me something that'll be real. I believe, God, you're going to speak to my heart. Come anticipating, excited about seeing God do something. How many of you came that way this morning? Say amen. 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 I came anticipating God's going to do something. I came expecting God to do something. And boy, he's blessed me already. I thank God for that. Come prepared. Preparation is necessary. Anticipation, expecting God to do something. I don't come out of duty. Like Brother Tim preached, on, not something you got to do, something you get to do. Thank God I'm glad to be here. Brother T.G. and Eva not here this morning. I talked to them on the phone yesterday, I believe it was. They're watching us on the internet, and he'll be here tonight for our meeting tonight. And he enjoys the internet, and he's appreciative of all those who do the internet service. But he knows and I know it's not like being here. Not like being here. But he's a part of the service. He and Eva this morning, others who are watching this morning. But when you come to the house of God, you come anticipating God to do something. And then the third thing is this, participation. Participation. And a boy went home one day driving home from church. And he said, I didn't get a thing out of the service this morning. I didn't get a thing out of the singing. I didn't get a thing out of the preaching. Well, his son sat there watching when the offering plate went by. And he said, Daddy, you at least got 5 cents worth. That's what you put in the offering. That's exactly right. You're going to pay 5 cents. But listen, participation. It's important. Worship is not a spectator sport. We come into this place to worship him and adore him. Listen to what it says. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Number one, your presence is required if you're going to participate. It's a wonderful thing. We have the internet and we have the radio and all of those things. My dear friend, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some can't be here this morning, and I'm thankful for the electronic ministry. But my dear friend, your presence is important here. How many of you? Notice we got some empty seats this morning. Raise your hand. About everybody in here notice that. Now I'll ask you a question. That make you feel good or bad? Bad. Didn't raise a question mark? Where are they at? Brad looked at me and he said, is it vacation week? And I didn't know it. Last day of the state fair? I don't know what it is. I don't know where everybody's at. But did you know that if you're here and they are not here and it kind of brings you down just about that much? Guess what happens when you're not here? Not only do you miss the blessing of being here, and not only are you accountable at the judgment seat of Christ for what goes on here, you have to give an account to the Lord, but your absence affects other people around you. You may not sing in the choir, you may not preach, you may not teach, you may not do that, but when you're not here, we miss you. When you're not here, it affects people in a good way, a negative way. I tell you, listen, just to be in the house of God, your presence is important. It is important for you to be here in the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. your presence. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as a matter of some is. If you're going to have real worship, you have to participate. You have to get involved in it. You enter into his presence with thanksgiving. You enter into his courts with praise. My dear friend, your participation is important. And in order to do that, you've certainly got to be present. You've got to be here in that place. Turn back in Psalm 107, will you? Psalm 107. Let me read. David was a great worshiper. He worshiped the Lord. And I know David had a lot of sin, but thank God those who have been forgiven much worship much. That's what the Bible says. Notice what he says in Psalm 107 and verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. My dear friend, you need to participate in when you come into the house of God with praise. You ought to magnify the Lord. God's been good to you. God's blessed you. He's praised you. He's blessed you. And you ought to praise him for what he's done for you. Rejoice in him and praise him. Magnify him in song. And participate in the services. And be involved in what God's doing. My dear friend, listen. You praise him. You magnify him. You interact with him in your prayer life. You pray beforehand for cleansing. You pray for God's blessing. But when you come in this place, for this length of time we are here, if it's an hour, if it's an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes, you'll be interacting with the Lord. I'm talking about when I'm preaching, you'll be interacting with the Lord. When you're singing, you're worshiping him. That's how you participate. You don't sit in there thinking, how long is he going to preach? When is he ever going to get through? I've heard that before. No, you're communing with him. You're talking with him. The whole time you're in that service, oh God, I want to thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for the word. God, thank you for the truth. Thank you for letting me worship. God, I'm glad I'm able to be here. Did you know what? There are folk all over this community who'd give anything in the world if they could be sitting where you're sitting at right now. It just hurts them, breaks their heart. Miss Pansy would give anything in the world if she could have been here this morning. T.G. and Eva, Dolores and Ben and Ray, so many others. They'd give anything to work if they could be back in the house of God. They're not able to, not physically able to. They got things that keep from being here. But they'd love to be here now. They'd love to be in the house of God. Miss Mabel and these precious daughters that bring her every Sunday, she can't see me, but she can hear me. And she says, I know your voice. And when I hear your voice, I thank God for that. Makes me mindful of that. I went by and saw Miss Johnson maybe a year ago now. And Ms. Johnson said, I can't hear Brother Billy very well. That's why I don't come to church sometimes. She said, but when I'm at home, I can turn that radio real loud. I turn it real loud, and I can listen to your voice. She's probably listening to us right now. I can hear your voice. Oh, listen, when you come in the house of God, he wants to hear your voice. He wants you to commune with him and talk with him, fellowship with him. I mean, it'll be an interaction between you and God the whole time you're in this place. Hey, here's a place of refuge. There's no pornography in this place. There's no rock music in this place. There's no wickedness demonstrated in this place. It's a place where you can talk with him for the whole time you're here. Meet him. Talk with him. That's what worship's all about. It's you sitting there worshiping him, not watching me or watching Brad. And when Brad sings, boy, listen, oh, listen, this morning, he's worthy. He's worthy. You know what I was thinking, Brother Brad, when you were singing? Boy, listen, I've seen a scene around the throne of God. I've seen a scene where he's sitting there on that throne, and they said, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. And I was thinking about the day I'll get to be there. And we'll say, worthy, worthy, worthy. And I said, Lord, thank you that you're worthy. Thank you loved me and died for me. You're worthy. You said here in this church service, the way you worship is commune with him, participation. It's not a spectator sport. You worship him. You glorify him in communion with him and praising him in song, lifting your voice. And you participate when you share in giving, worship. He said, come before the Lord, bring a gift. You honor him. You recognize the fact that all of his gifts to you, everything belongs to him anyhow. And you worship him in giving. And that's what we do when we worship. And when we give offerings and tithes, we worship him. Presentation of our gifts. My dear friend, listen. I want to say this to you. Participation is so important. Your preparation is so important. Get prepared. When you get up, next time you get ready to come to the house of God, don't run out the door with you. You know, just going helter-skelter every which way. Prepare your heart before you come. Pray at the house. Ask God to speak to you. You get ready all the time. You're getting ready. Out there, putting your makeup on, shame. Oh, God, speak to my heart. God bless the choir. Bless the preacher. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Know Him. Know Him. Begin to think about who He is and what He's done for you, how good He is. When you come into this place, my dear friend, you come anticipating God do it. Come participate. Get involved in the service. Get involved in the service. Don't sit there and text, for goodness sakes. Men and women. Not only boys and girls, but men and women. We're going to do like they used to do in Old West Town. We're going to take up they took up the guns when you come into town. We'd start taking up cell phones. Nothing wrong with that. Praise God. Listen, if you're on call, if you're a medical professional or whatever, you do what you got to do. But the rest of you, nothing is more important in the hour you're here than worshiping Him, magnifying Him and glorifying Him. Magnify the Lord. Honor Him. Thank God for Him. Participate. The last element is this. It's your adoration of Him. I was reading this week in the book of Luke chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ was born. After He was born, we dedicated this morning, Easton. They brought the Lord to the temple as a baby, as an infant. There was Simeon. And God had spoke to his heart. He prayed. He said, Lord, don't let me die. And the Lord said, I'll not let you die until you see my salvation. I don't know how many babies he ever saw in his responsibilities there in the temple. But when Jesus came as a baby, he said, Lord, he held Jesus and he said, Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation. I've seen Jesus. There's a woman there. She'd been a widow some 80 years. And she prayed in that temple over and over and over again over those 80 years. And it says, and in that time, in that moment, when Jesus came in, she was there. And she saw him. And she rejoiced that she had seen the Savior, the Christ, and rejoiced. Can I ask you a question? What do you see when you come to the house of God? Have you seen him? Have you seen him? He's not here physically. But if you come into this place and you leave this place and you've not seen him, if you've not seen him and worship him in spirit and in truth, the truth of who he is the sinless Son of God. He's God's Son. Jesus Christ is God's Son. In John, I was reading this week, I've been going through John devotionally. The Lord said to him, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I will please. And the Lord said of himself, he that seen me hath seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Jesus Christ is God. Amen. Jesus Christ is God. That's the distinguishing mark of every other religion in the world. Jesus Christ. You don't have to know what they believe about men and women, nothing else. You find out what they believe about Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. God incarnate in human flesh. He is God. That's why even the Jews wanted to kill him. Because they recognized that he was claiming deity, that he was God. And he was God. And he is God. Jesus Christ, I see him as God. He's God. Do you see him as God? Do you see him, my dear friend, as that sinless sacrifice? Jesus Christ, she said, Simeon said, I've seen thy salvation. Salvation is a person. Jesus is the only way to heaven. You see him like that? You come into this place and said, had it not been for him, I'd be in hell by now. I got a lot of friends that died. A lot of friends who never trusted Christ. I could have been there. But Jesus is Savior. Listen. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. I see him as the sinless sacrifice, the sinless Savior. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You see him like that? You see him as the Son of God? You see him as the sinless sacrifice? You see him as the sovereign exalted? The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Jesus is not one among many. He has no equal. There's no way to compare him. There's nobody like him. He is God. He is a sovereign exalted. All judgments committed unto him. He's over all things. By him all things consist. Thank God. Hey, listen. My believing it doesn't make it so. I believe it makes it so. No. Mm-mm. He is so. He is sovereign. He is the king. He is the sovereign exalted. But can I say this to you? When I come into this place and worship him, I see him as a son of God. I see him as a sinless sacrifice. I see him as a savior. I see him, my dear friend, as that exalted sovereign. But I also see him as a soon coming king. If I stay at a house and watch Fox News, I'd go absolutely crazy. Even Fox News. You would too. Because it'd bring you down. Bring you down. But when I come in here and I understand this, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when I leave here knowing in my heart, believing I have had an encounter with the one who's got his hand on everything in this world, that nothing happens without him. He's in control of everything. And he's not a bit worried about what's going on in this world because he's got everything laid out. He's not weary. He's not faint. He's not in heaven wondering how we're going to handle this thing. It's getting out of my hands. No, he's not like that. He's completely in control. I can trust him. I can trust him. Hey, verse in the Bible says this, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Our foundation of our moral code in America, all the things, you see so many foundations crumbling in America. If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? We'll stand on the rock of ages, praise God. Because he's not going anywhere. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the soon coming king. I worship him, magnify him. And there's something about that that affects me. I started the message by telling you this. He is El Shaddai. He does not need us to worship him. But we need to worship him. Because when we worship him, my dear friend, we adore him. We see him in his rightful place, who he is. It'll give you a peace of God that passeth all understanding. It'll give you a joy unspeakable full of glory. And my dear friend, he'll give you that hope that passeth not away. We're looking forward to seeing him and knowing him. And it's him that we worship. And when we worship him, it does something for us and benefits us and blesses us. And then when we leave here and we get ready to go out, David said a while ago that I can proclaim to all the world who he is and what he is and what he's done for me. Turn back to Psalms 26, one verse and I'm through. Psalms number 26. Look at this with me this morning. In Psalms 26, listen to what David said in verses 7 and 8. Psalms number 26, verse 7 and 8. He said, back up verse 6, I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. You can come to the house of God clean, not anything between your soul and the Savior. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wonders. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. David said, I just love the house of God. I love to go worship him. And when I leave, I'm going to leave here praising him and with a thankful heart and tell all the world the works of our wonderful Savior. What do you need now? Somewhere along the line, they're going to come out with an Ebola vaccine. And you'll be told, everybody, we got to have one. We need one. We got one for shingles and got one for the flu and got one for all those things. Can I tell you there's no vaccination for sin? And if we cured all the world's diseases, the wages of sin is still death. The most important thing you need to be concerned about is something that is inherent in your very nature, and that is sin. Born into sin, sinned by nature the children of wrath, and the only thing that can alter that or change that is to be born again by the grace of God. If you've experienced that you can worship him aright. And when everything else settles and it gets right down to it, that's what we worship, because he saved us and we're his child. But if you're not saved this morning, he loves you. He died for you and he wants you to be saved. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? David said, I'm going to publish. I want to tell everybody with thanksgiving and with praise of his wondrous works. His creation's marvelous. His healing is wonderful. But the most wonderful work is that of redeeming fallen man and forgiving all of our sins, making us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. It's available to everybody in this building, everybody in the radio audience, internet audience. It's available. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. That's what you need more than anything in this world right now, is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord. If you died today, where would you be? Where would you go? Paul said, for those who are saved, absent from the body is present with the Lord. For the man the Lord told about in the Bible, when he died, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, in a flame eternally, a place called hell. The Lord did give that story, referring to the fact that people would die and go to hell, motivating those who don't want to go to hell to trust Jesus. Will you trust him today? God's Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. He's the sinless Savior. He's the Son of God. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He gave his life a ransom that you could be saved right now. Will you trust him? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our Heavenly Father, I pray right now that God the Holy Ghost, our Father, deal with men, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. I pray that somebody will take a step of faith and accept Jesus as Savior and Lord.